you have your Bibles, hold them up, and let's make our proclamation this morning together. Here we go. Yes. I choose to believe it over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it, whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you, like me, Thanksgiving just kind of creeped up on you? I was caught completely, my wife and I were caught completely off guard. As of last Monday, we had no plans. We didn't even know it was Thanksgiving. And she goes, do you realize not this week, but next Thursday is Thanksgiving? I mean, I had no idea. I'm so lost in the day-to-day that I really literally had no idea. So we decide we're going to tell our kids, let's go out to eat. And our kids were like, no, we want to eat home. So that's what we're doing. I ordered turkeys, and we're good. So y'all bring the sides. We got the turkeys, or Aquistapasis has the turkeys, and we'll be good. For just 4 short days, it's going to be Thanksgiving. And I love this time of year. I am kind of just this old-fashioned guy. I like to think about all the things at this time of year that I have to be thankful for. Anybody else do that during Thanksgiving? Matter of fact, my kids can't stand when I do that on Thanksgiving Day as they're starving and waiting to eat. Come join hands and everybody tell what you're thankful for. They're like, hurry up, let's get to the food. So what I'm going to do this year, just so you guys know, is we're going to do it during dinner. Like after you started stuffing your face, we can begin to talk and communicate that way. So this is just an idea for you to share in your household as well. So that way they don't fuss at you about taking too much time during the Thanksgiving prayer. But I love contemplating the things I have to be thankful for during this time of year. And I know that this year has been a bit of a challenge, would you say? People have lost their jobs. We have this COVID-19 scare all over the country. We had the economy shut down completely for several months, and now there's threats and talk that may happen again. It's already happening in some places around the country. A friend of ours is a missionary, and he right now is in Iowa, serving people in Iowa that were devastated by a natural disaster. And he said that as of this past Thursday, the churches in Iowa are now shut down, cannot meet again. And I went, Lord, we don't need that here. Because I really don't want to go to jail. I will, but I don't really want to. I used to put people in jail. I don't really want to go in it. But let's be honest. This year, like I said, a lot of challenges, a lot of opportunities that may have caused you to not be so thankful, but maybe instead be a little angry, maybe a little disappointed or upset at the way things have gone. You don't have to identify yourself. But let's be honest, a lot of emotions happening in 2020. Anybody in here get a little upset, angry, a little distracted by some of the things happening? I mean, we all kind of did, right, at times. And I wondered as we went through those 3 months of quarantine, God, what are you trying to show us? What's going on here? And I tried to find the place of being thankful in the midst of that. But then, you know, I learned through the years of following Jesus that I need to learn to be thankful regardless of what's happening around me. Anybody in here just thankful people? How many thankful people in the house today? Yeah. It's a great place to live. It's a great place to be. So I really don't need to preach this message to you. So, hey, God bless you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Just kidding. We, 2 weeks ago, we were entering, it was a Tuesday, we were entering our staff meeting, and the Lord woke me up earlier that day and gave me a word for our staff. He does that often, and I'll bring a word to our staff meeting. So before we started, I said, before we start today, I have a word for us. I said, this is the word. Instead of, from now on, us coming to our staff meeting with problems, we're going to have possibilities. I said, now, I'm not so dumb, I'm not so dim to realize that we have things we need to work on. We have areas of our ministry that we need to tweak, that we need to fix, but we're not going to call them problems. We're going to refer to them from now on as possibilities, because every time I bring a possibility, I leave room for God to show up and do something great. Imagine if you did that in your own life. instead of you coming home, honey, we got a problem. And that's how the conversation goes sometimes over dinner. Honey, we got a problem. Have you seen this? Have you seen that? Have you heard? Have you talked to little Johnny and seen his report card or something like that, you know? And there's always some kind of problem. But what if you just began to focus, instead of on the problem, you began to focus on the possibilities of what God could do in that situation instead of on the problems? See, the problem is that many times as human beings, our human nature tends to want to focus on the negative. Now, I don't know why that is, but we tend to want to live there. I'll be honest, I myself at times can tend to be a little negative. My wife will point it out to me quite often. You're being negative. I'm not listening to you right now because you're being. She does that. Don't you feel bad for me? No, nobody's agreeing with me. They're all agreeing with you. You see, because possibility talk focuses on the potential and not the problem. And I'm not saying you don't have problems. I'm saying we got to put them in the right perspective. So from now on at New Beginnings, if you come to me and say, hey, we got a problem, I'm not listening. But if you come to me and say, Pastor Eddie, I think we got a possibility. Depends on how you say it. Depends on if I'll listen or not. Just kidding. But what if we use that same approach in our own personal lives and we just began to focus on the possibilities? I think your life would look a little different. I think your perspective would certainly be different. And yet, for some unknown reason, we like to focus on the negative side of things. I believe that that comes from hard hearts. I believe that focusing on the negative is something we're conditioned to do because of the past, because of things done to us, things said to us, and things that have happened to us through the years. You get your hopes up, and someone pulls the rug out from under you. You're hoping for something great and something bad happens instead. So what starts to happen is you quit hoping for something good. Right. You just start focusing. I guess this is going to turn out bad too. I guess negative's going to happen to me again because it always does. Not with Jesus.
That's right.
Every situation and circumstance that you face today is a possibility for God to show up and for God to show off in your life. If you have your Bibles, would you open them to the book of Ephesians? Today I'll be teaching you from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Let me remind you, the book of Ephesians, or the letter to the Ephesian church, was what they called a circular letter. It was a letter written to a region of churches, not to one particular church or one particular church's problems. For instance, if you look at the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, those are written to the Corinthian church addressing some specific problems within that church. So if the problems in your church are not the same as the problems in the Corinthian church, there are some things in there that may not be relevant. All the word is relevant. You hear what I'm saying? But there may be some things that may be not relevant to your particular church or situation because it really wasn't written for you, but we learned great lessons from it. But the Ephesian letter is different. It's written to the church as an institution, as an organization, and that means for all churches everywhere and at every time. So although it was written nearly 2,000 years ago, it's as relevant today for our lives as it was the day it was written. If you would, look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. And we're going to read down through verse 20, and I'm going to teach you from those five verses or six verses today. Here's what Paul wrote. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Look at verse 20. Always, say always.
Always.
Let that sink in for a minute. Always giving thanks to God the Father for what?
Everything.
Some things? Everything. Only the things you like?
Everything.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am of the mindset that as Christian men and women, we should live in a state of thankfulness. How many times throughout this most challenging year have you found yourself in an eternal state of thankfulness and not switched over to negative thinking, negative talk? So two of us. What if, just think about this with me for a minute, what if we could always be thankful like Ephesians 5:20 tells us we should be? This morning, I'm going to give you six lessons, six things that I learned from Ephesians 5:15 through 20 that I believe that people who are always thankful do. And if you'll always do these things, I believe you'll always be thankful.
Yeah.
First one is this. Being always thankful means, number one, on your handout, I make decisions based on God's wisdom, not the world's logic or man's logic. Ephesians 5:15 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Now, we all know somebody that continually makes bad decisions. If they're with you, do not point at them. Do not elbow them in the ribs. Just look forward. Just keep looking this way. You know who it is. When they call you and say, hey, I just made a new decision, you know the next words out of their mouth are going to be the wrong decision because they have a track record of bad decision making. You know why they have a track record of bad decision making? Because people who make bad decisions use wrong logic in making the decisions. And if logic is all, that logic is always based on a faulty foundation. If you believe wrong, listen to me. If you believe wrong, you'll behave wrong.
That's right.
That's factual and that's scientific. If you believe the wrong things, you'll behave the wrong way. For instance, if your idea about marriage, for instance, is based on someone else's failure in marriage, then you may have some wrong ideas about marriage. If your ideas about money are either based on a spendthrift or a hoarder, you may have some wrong ideas about money because somewhere in the middle of that is the right ideas and thoughts about money, right?
Yeah.
If what you believe about God either comes from a religious experience where you saw extreme hypocrisy on one side or extreme legalism on the other side, you probably have the wrong idea about a relationship with Jesus. We must all understand that God does not think like we think, or reason like we reason, or logic like we logic. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 7 through 9. The prophet Isaiah, God speaking to him, he says these words. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and let the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts, God says, are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God does not think like you do.
Right.
And so if the thoughts you're having look a lot like you, probably not God's thoughts. Do you know that the unsaved and unpurified heart does not have the capacity to think the thoughts of God? But you, child of God, sons and daughters of the Most High, you, the Bible says, have the mind of Christ. And if you have the mind of Christ, then you have the thoughts of God in you and available to you. And all you have to do is tap in to the Spirit that lives in you. Let's make decisions based on God's wisdom, not the world's or man's logic. Number two, being always thankful means I learn to be content with where I am and with what I have today.
Amen.
Ephesians 5:16 says, making the most of every opportunity.
Yes.
How often do you find yourself wishing you were somewhere else and at some other time and you're not happy with your current situation and all you wanted to do is change?
Yeah, a lot.
continue to do the same thing day after day after day. We hope in tomorrow when we wake up that Jesus is all of a sudden going to deliver us out of this situation. Wake up. That's the definition of insanity. Every day, oh Lord, maybe today is the day you're going to deliver me. Oh Lord, maybe today is the day you're going to deliver me. And we just get in those situations and we begin to settle and we begin to be satisfied with. I'm talking about contentment, not being satisfied. I'm never satisfied with where I am, but I've learned to be content. You know, there's a big difference. Being satisfied means that I'm okay with the way things are right now. I'm okay with status quo. My marriage is kind of stinky. My kids are kind of off the track. My finances are out of whack. Whatever the case may be, and I just be okay with that. I guess this is, you know, people say, I guess this is the best it's ever going to be.
Yeah, come on.
Out there.
Huh. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Contentment says, I'll stay where I am and prepare for where I'm believing God is wanting me to go. I'm preparing for what's next. I'm getting ready for the promotion, but I can't get ready sitting still like this. Lord, get me ready. No, I got to be, if I'm going to be ready for the next thing that God has for me, then I better get right. I better get listening. I better start wondering what's next. And I start preparing. I start learning. I start growing. I start getting ready. Because God can't bring you to where he wants to bring you in the current state where you are right now. You know that for years, I'm just going to admit this to you. I'm like, Lord, why hadn't our church grown faster than I wanted it to? I started getting myself ready. I started becoming more of a learner. I started becoming more of a student of the word. I started spending more time with Jesus. I said, you know what? If I gotta learn more, the only place I'm gonna get it's from you. I'm gonna spend more time with you. I'm gonna get ready so when the day comes and you're ready to promote me, I'm ready. I told somebody this morning, you can't wait to put people in place when the church grows. You got to put people in place so right now so the church will grow. We put people in place today so the church will continue to grow. And guess what? God's been faithful in his growth.
Yeah, amen. Right. Yeah, thank you, God.
1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Paul told Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul was telling Timothy, his young son in the ministry, you can be godly, growing in your faith, a student of God, a follower of Jesus, growing all the time in your faith, but being content where you are. I said, Lord, if Timothy could be content where he was, I could be content where I am. I'm not where I want to be yet, but I am preparing myself and trusting God for what I'm believing that he's wanting to do in my life and through my life so that one day when he's ready to do it, I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Amen.
Philippians 4, chapter 10. Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 10. Paul, writing the letter to the Philippian church from a jail cell, says these words. Now, I have to tell you that because you need to understand the context. Paul said, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. He's telling the Philippian church. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. What's the secret? Pray harder, hope longer, pray for luck to strike your house, buy a lottery ticket, ask God to give you a promotion that you're not yet ready to handle? I don't think so. The secret is found in Philippians 4:13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. We learn to be content with where we are, trusting Jesus and doing everything in our strength to prepare for what we're believing him for. I'm trusting Jesus for a new job, then I better get to knowing and understanding everything I need to know about that job so when the opportunity comes, I'll be ready. Yeah. I didn't tell this to the first service, but you know, when I was about, 20-something, 28, 9, 30, I don't know. I wanted to go work for Miller Brewing Company. This is a true story. And they said, well, you have to have a CDL and be able to drive a tractor trailer. I'd never driven a tractor trailer in my life, but I'm a really good driver. So I went and got a CDL. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I finagled. That's a good one. I finagled, and I got a CDL without having any experience. Don't ask me how.
Jesus.
It was before Jesus, by the way.
Right.
Don't do what I do.
Right.
I had to take a driving test, though, in order to complete the license. So I go to Miller Brewing Company. They were going to hire me. They said, you got to drive this truck. You got to back it up to a loading dock. You got to parallel park a tractor trailer.
Oh boy. Wow.
They put these orange cones out. Them orange cones look mighty small. I said, you sure that truck will fit in there? Oh, no. It won't fit in there completely long. You have to cock the cab at 45 degrees. And make.
Oh,
you'd have thought I've been driving a truck for 50 years, you know why? Because I had experience driving my dad's camper and a boat and all those things, and so I could back a boat in the yard between a house and a fence and never hit anything. I did stuff like that. I was prepared. So when the day came and to get the job that I wanted at the time, I was able to park that. That dude was like, man, you're good at this. How long you been doing this? Long time. I was lying through my teeth. Paul's telling the church at Ephesus, make the most of every opportunity. If the opportunity that you find yourself in today is a stepping stone to something else, then prepare for where you want to go and be content while you wait. Learn to be content where you are and with what you have. Number three, being always thankful means I will seek the will of God for my life.
Yes,
Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Listen, Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. How many of you at one time or another thought you knew what was best for your life? And you just headed along. You got that 5-year plan and the 10-year plan. And you know, when I get to this age, I'm going to be doing this. When I get to that age, I'm going to be doing that. And you get along on that road a little while and you realize I am on the wrong dang road.
Yeah.
I have been on that road a few times in my life. Wrong road again. Because I kept making foolish decisions, not based on the will of God, based on the will of Eddie.
Yeah.
We learned, huh, Peggy? We learned that the will of Eddie will not get you anywhere. But the will of God will take you right where you're supposed to be. If we're going to go the right way, then we must seek the one who has already mapped out the plan.
That's right.
I want you to look at your neighbor and tell him, God's got a plan for your life. Every one of y'all. God has a plan for your life. And if the road you're on looks a lot like the things you like and nothing like you believe that God would like, probably you're on your road, not on his road.
All right.
Quit seeking what everyone else is seeking and discover the will of God. There's no better place to be than the absolute perfect will of God. There is a perfect will of God. Listen, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I love Romans 12, 2. Look what he says. Paul says to the Roman church, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, changing what you're thinking about.
Right.
When you do that, then you'll be able to test and approve of what God's will is. Here it is. Good, pleasing, perfect.
Yep.
How many of you got that good, pleasing, and perfect will in your life? I got all that. Listen, the way that seems right to us is full of the bad, the dissatisfying, and imperfection. Do what you can to produce only what God can give you, right? How do you do that? Seek him for his will, not your way. Because the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God can only come from God. You can't get the good, pleasing, and perfect will anywhere else. Not winning the lottery. Not getting the prettiest girl or the best looking guy. Not having a bank account full of money or the nicest car or the best house to live in or the coolest clothes to wear.
Yeah.
Only by seeking the heart of God can you find the will of God. Everything else comes from the world. Seek the will of God for your life. Number four, I quit trying that. I almost left this out because I said, you know, I'm gonna step on some people's toes today. Please don't misquote what I'm going to tell you. Let me say this to you. Number four, I quit trying to drown my problems. Instead, I ask God to fill me. If you have a drink today, strictly for pleasure purposes, you are not going to hell. There are churches that will teach you different. That's what I'm telling you. And if you have a differing opinion, you come bring me the Bible and we'll talk about it and I'll show you what I'm talking about. The Bible does not say do not drink. It says don't get drunk with wine because it leads to debauchery. So if your habit has been I'm going to kill my problems by trying to drown them, we all know that doesn't work, right? So what happens is when I drown the problems and I recover from being wasted, guess what happens? Problem still there.
Yeah.
And if I drank way too much, not only are those problems there, yeah, the ones that happened while I was under the influence are now with me too. Some of y'all got some stories, huh? I can see it from your face. I can guarantee you something that's foolproof. Don't try to drown your problems, because all you're going to do is add to them, right? So listen, but ask God the next time that you have some problems. Instead of trying to drown them to numb the pain or to forget where you're at, you just say, God, I need a fresh filling of your spirit. I need you to fill me to overflowing with your spirit, because I need to see things in a different way. I need to begin to understand things that I can't in the natural understand. I want you to understand. I want you to understand something, that for 20 years I've been walking with the Lord. I don't drink at all, just because that's just a choice. I don't do it because somebody said I shouldn't or somebody said I couldn't. I don't do it because I know I'm an idiot when I do. I've asked God, as I face problems, to fill me. And you know what? I know I'm just an average intelligence individual. But when God fills me with his spirit and I begin to see things the way he can only show me, then I see things in a way that I could never see them on my own. I become creative, and I'm not creative. I look smart all of a sudden, and I'm not that smart. But because of the spirit of God in me, I can do things and see things that I never could without the Spirit of God. So the next time you got a problem in front of you, ask the Lord, God, I need a fresh filling. You know, there's an old saying in church, there's no high like the Most High. You want to escape your problems? Get lost in the Spirit. I promise you, you'll forget all about your problems because Jesus will have an answer for your problems.
Thank you, Lord.
Quit trying to drown them and just be filled with the Spirit. So if you want to quote me, Pastor Eddie said I can drink. That ain't what I said. I said, drinking won't send you to hell, right?
Right.
That's what I said. I just said, you just don't get drunk, because you will act like a fool. All
right. That's right.
Number five, being always thankful means I find reasons to worship. Ephesians 5:19 says we speak to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. How many times this week did you wake up singing worship songs? You know how many times I woke up this week singing worship songs? Every day. That's what I sing every day. You know why? Because that's all I listen to every day. On my phone, I have a playlist of all the cool songs that we sing here and all the most current songs on the radio and Christian radio, and I get in my truck, you know what? And if I got problems like the rest of y'all.
Yeah.
But in order for me to forget about all that stuff, I just start playing worship music.
Yep. Amen.
I worship when ain't nothing wrong. You know why? Because I know how good God is. And I know that God is worthy of some praise. And so I just, for no reason at all, just start praising him. 4:30 in the morning, last Wednesday, I'm on my way to the gym. And I got the worship music cranked up. And I'm rocking. I think I was rocking to Graves in the Gardens. I was rolling down. And all of a sudden, I started talking about how good God is. God, you're so good. I started to just weep. I was crying. I had nothing wrong in my life. I was perfectly fine just crying in my life at God's goodness, at God's favor, at God's faithfulness in my life. And it just gave me more reason to praise him more. I want you to know, if you got some problems, just find a reason to worship. And if you can't find something good in your life to worship, then just look to the cross. I promise you, if you just look at the cross, it'll give you the greatest reason you ever had in order to worship God. God, you saved me. You delivered me. You gave me the promise of heaven. And God, for that reason and that reason alone, I'm thankful, Lord.
Right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Now, what we do is we wake up like this. I got that angry boss at work I got to go face. I got that bill I can't pay. I got a customer problem, a marital issue. I got kids going astray. I got COVID-19 restrictions everywhere I go. I got to wear a mask. I got government shutdowns, possibilities about to happen, financial problems, and the list just keeps going on and on. Am I right?
Yep. Yep.
You're focusing on the wrong things.
Sorry.
See, if that's the way you've been waking up in the morning, you got your focus all wrong.
Yeah.
Your focus needs to be,
yes.
Good morning, Jesus.
Ready
to worship you another day. Lord, I'm ready to go where you want me to go and to do what you want me to do, and I can't do it thinking about all that stuff. You know what I had to do? I had to quit listening to the news because there ain't nothing good on. I don't care which station you listen to, CNN, Fox, whatever it is. You put whatever letters you want in front of it. It's all bad news. I had a friend's a missionary, Curtis and Belinda Connolly. They started their mission work here at New Beginnings about 8 years ago. And Curtis and Belinda are up in Iowa right now feeding people who have been devastated in Iowa, both from COVID-related things and also a storm that went through Iowa several months back. He said they've 40,000 meals they've already given away, something like that. Curtis said to me, yeah, as of Thursday morning, the Iowa state government has now shut down churches again. Immediately, I'm having this phone call, and I start to think, oh, let's hope this doesn't happen here. And I went, Lord, I'm not going to be led.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to be led by the government.
Yeah.
I'm going to worship you regardless of what's going on.
Amen.
Right now. Regardless of who says I can or who says I can't.
Right.
And this church is going to be open. Listen. If I'm the only one in here, I'll be in here. And listen to what I'm telling you. I don't really want to go to jail, but I will go to jail.
I'm not saying that
because I'm going like anti-government. I'm saying that because I'm telling you, we as people of God have a right to worship God freely, and we're going to open this church and worship God freely as long as I got a breath in here. Worship requires a sacrifice of our own feelings and fears so that we can give God the focus he deserves.
Right.
Listen, I promise you this. You cannot drive down the street worshiping Jesus still fearful of COVID. You can't drive down the street worshiping Jesus worried about your finances. You can't worry about your job. You can't worry about your wife. You can't worry about anything else except Jesus when he's the focus of your worship. You cannot worship in the midst of your own problems and situations without putting all those things aside to refocus on God. Listen, there's days, like I told you, there's days nothing's wrong in my life. There's nothing, I have nothing, nothing absolutely wrong at all. And those are the days I worship the hardest. When was the last time you just prayed and thanked Jesus for who he is and what he's already done in your life? I don't need anything, Lord. I ain't coming to you like this. I'm coming to you like this. And listen, I promise you, start coming to him like this, and you won't ever have to go like this. Try waking up tomorrow, regardless of what's happening in your life, and just worship Jesus. And number six, being always thankful means I quit complaining and I'm thankful instead. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. When was the last time you thanked God for some trial you were going through?
Yes,
oh, Jesus, I am so thankful for this problem in my life.
Yes, Lord. Thank
y'all
you.
All lying if you say you know what? I'm just kidding. I do it all the time. Regardless of what I'm facing, I thank the Lord for whatever it is. You know why? Because for 20 plus years, I've thanked him every moment of every day, regardless of whether things were great or things were in the tank. And you know what I found? God is faithful, and he will bring you through whatever it is you face, because if he'll bring you to it, he'll bring you through it. He's done it every time for the last 20 plus years.
Thank you, Lord.
And if I'm in something I don't like today, I know this. He's trying to show me something or teach
that's
me something
right.
or grow
right.
me or get
yeah.
me ready
yeah. Yeah.
for what's
right.
next.
That's right. Amen.
And either way, I'm good with that, right?
Thank you, Lord. Yep.
So do you understand that when you resort to complain, you can't focus on anything but the problem?
Right.
And remember, as believers, we don't have problems.
Right.
We have possibilities.
That's right. Woo! Thank you, Lord.
Now,
right.
as I told you, if you're having trouble finding things to be thankful for in your life, tomorrow morning on your way to work, pick me up. And I will ride with you down the street, and I will start to point the
yes.
things out in your life.
Yes.
Just right there in your car. Right. Matter of fact, you got a car, there's one thing.
Yes.
If you're not picking me up on your back,
thank you, Lord.
Then you got a car, you got one. But it's a hoopty. Hey, you got one.
Yeah.
Let's start there, right?
Right.
Hey, did you wake up sucking wind?
Right. Yes.
There's another.
Hey, thank you, Lord.
Did you put some clothes on? Thank God. Don't pick me up unless you know, unless you have some clothes on. Everybody has something to be thankful for.
That's right.
Would you stand up if you're thankful in the house today?
Yes.
Now I'm going to ask y'all just to participate with me for a minute. If you're thankful for something in your life, then give the Lord a hand. Come on. Being always thankful means I make decisions based on God's wisdom, not man's logic. I learn to be content with where I am and what I have today. I seek the will of God for my life. I quit trying to drown my problems. Instead, I ask God to fill me. I find a reason to worship, and I quit complaining, and I'm thankful instead. This morning, I'm asking the thankful people that want to come to the altar. And I'm going to pray a prayer over you, a prayer blessing, a prayer safety. Now, if you don't feel comfortable coming to the altar, then you stay in your seat, and I will pray for you. My prayers will reach to you at your seat. I can promise you that. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a little exercise here at the altar this morning. We're going to exercise a sacrifice of praise. And I want you to just begin in your own voice, right there where you are, just begin to thank God out loud for the things you're thankful for. Don't worry about what the person next to you is saying or not saying. You just start thinking, God, I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my pastor, that he's the coolest pastor on the North Shore. I'm thankful for this beautiful church you've given me. I'm thankful for the car you gave me to get here. I'm thankful that I have food on the table when I get home. I'm thankful, Lord, that I'm still breathing. I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for Calvary. God, you are amazing and powerful and mighty in my life. And God, I don't have enough words to tell you how thankful I am today. Tell them, come on, tell them. I want to hear your voices. Tell them, I'm thankful, Lord. Thankful, Lord. Thankful, Lord. I'm thankful for the people of New Beginnings Church, and I ask a blessing over them. I ask for your favor to shine down upon them. I ask for your safety to be with them, God, as they navigate this life, as they walk through it. I pray you keep them well, you keep them healthy, you keep them safe. Let them have the greatest Thanksgiving that they've ever experienced, because we put things in their proper perspective and we're putting you first in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We will see you next week.